The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
There is no second best crypto asset. There is no second best crypto asset. How are you doing, people? Welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Might be a short show. I have a headache, so I'm feeling tired today. I don't know why. I slept well. I don't know. Feeling tired, headache. Yesterday there was the Patreon hangout. No one showed up for the discussion, but some watched. So if you want to see me code, I've been doing coding. I've been adding a sword to my game. And so you get 40 minutes of JF coding. If you'd like to join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level, the link is already there. It's a sad state of affair that the public space is in, because you have these people like Jordan Peterson who don't want to face the best critique of their ideas. And so they develop this conception of psychopaths. The other side is psychopaths, so we shouldn't engage with psychos, right? But then you look into the detail of how he defines this, and basically it's his expression of, I just don't want to talk to this guy. I just don't want to talk to the other. And ultimately, who looks more like a psychopath are precisely these people who, for their societal project in Israel, need the dehumanization of an entire segment of the human population. Not only are all the Palestinians evil, all the Hamas people wanting to kill all of the Jews, but all of the people who happen to disagree with the characterization are also psychopaths. At some point, you have to measure the validity of your thoughts in terms of how many people it requires you to invent things about. Because I don't think that any people on our side of the right wing has shown signs of psychopathy. I don't think that I did. I'm a very caring person. I'm against bombing babies. And yet I'm being told by the other side of politics, the people who are advocating actively for bombing babies, they are telling me I'm a psycho. Going to bed, placed a 50x short on BTC at 88k. I either get liquidated or wake up to profit. Good night. Well, this poor guy, Jason, must have woken up to an increase, sudden increase of the BTC price. That's why you hold on to your Bitcoin. It's all happening in a single day. We are back to 93K when we were at, we were hanging out. At some point, it went down to 70K, I think, or 70-some K. So it's very encouraging for Bitcoin owners. I don't know that that's the end of the recovery. I think we should definitely flirt with 98K, then perhaps fall a little bit, then perhaps revisit the all-time highs. 79? Didn't it go to 70K at some point? Okay, maybe 79 was the bottom. Anyways, it felt like 70K. The bottom was sludgy. It was painful. It was sad. I was sad for Bitcoin. Infiltration of the judiciary throughout the West is the greatest long con of the left. How how can Biden let millions of criminals into our country totally unchecked and unvetted with no legal authority to do so? Yet I, in order to make up for this assault to our nation, am expected to go through a lengthy legal process separately for each and every criminal alien. As usual, two different standards, only leading to the complete and total destruction of the USA. Make America great again. I'm all for the quickest possible deportations, but I will say I'm feeling uncomfortable in the face of the ways in which Trump makes their arguments. So, for example, there's this guy who they decided to deport to El Salvador. And when pushed on the question, why is this guy a member of a gang, of a criminal gang? I would have expected that when he was telling us, I'm going to deport criminals, it's going to be people who were found guilty in a court of law of a crime. Now, there's this guy, and their argument is he's an MS-13 because he has a tattoo that says MS-13, and you have to decode the symbols, okay, to get to the point of MS-13. And then the defenders of this guy are like, well, there's lots of Hispanics who wear these symbols. It means the Messiah 13s. It means the 12 apostles plus Jesus Christ. So it's a Catholic thing or whatever. And I'm like, certainly, this is not what I expected. If you're going to tell me we're deporting criminals, I was expecting that there would be some proof that they're criminal, not just a tattoo. Now, if they're illegally in the country, who cares ultimately? But then don't tell me they're criminals. Tell me you're deporting them for being illegally in the country. That's what I want to hear. Similarly, they talked about this guy and trying to defend that the tattoo, maybe some people would not be convinced by the tattoo. They started saying, well, he beat his wife. Well, by this standard, let me tell you, there's not a single guy who can stay in the U.S. Because they said, I heard Trump say, he was found by a very respectful court, a very respected court, to have abused his wife. That sounds like a family court. That doesn't sound like a criminal court. Because he didn't say jury of his peers. He said he was found by a very respectable court. What the fuck is this respectable court? And are we starting now to assume that women tell the truth in civil proceedings? Because there's going to be a whole lot of problems stemming from this. All in all, I'm not saying I'm against the deportation of this guy. Especially if he's illegally in the U.S., then sure, deport like... But don't just deport this... Don't just deport the one guy you have a photo of his tattoo. Deport everyone that's illegal, period. But no, we are in the domain of excuses and special pleadings and, oh, well, his wife claimed that he had abused him. A court found that he had abused her. But now his wife is demanding that he be brought back to the U.S. It looks like little familial false allegations. And I'm very scared of a due process in immigration that is disappearing because a bunch of civil courts now can be sourced for information. D. Thomas says, J.F. Strawman argument, there is much more evidence that he is MS-13. He was found with other MS-13 members and he had money on him that had the eyes and ears blacked out. That is how MS-13 marks their cash. Again, we are in the guilt by association. Maybe he's in a network. Maybe he happens to be paid by people who are in MS-13. That wouldn't convince me in and of itself that you're in, because I could have those bills. If I was going to the Mexican part of town to buy me some ground beef or taco meat, that could be so. Well, he says he has a fucking MS-13 tattoo. What the fuck are you talking about? A tattoo is not a crime. See, this is the problem here. We're sliding into expression is a crime, thoughts are a crime. We're sliding into false allegation by woman are a crime. I'm not here to defend this guy, but I'm here to defend due process. And I am personally extremely offended by the behavior of the Trump administration there. D. Thomas says, you mark out the eyes and ears on your cash. No, but I could deal with a Mexican. I could deal with a Mexican without committing a crime. This Mexican happens to have committed crimes, and he has his money marked, and maybe I'm buying from him, or I'm selling him beef, or I'm selling him something, and I end up with the bills marked. Does that make me a criminal? No. Bad Boy Swag says, bro, JF, bad take. Nobody is saying the tattoo is the crime. That tattoo is proof he has affiliation or is a member of a terrorist organization. It isn't up for dispute. I don't know. Are there not alternative ways in which you can end up with this tattoo? Or perhaps, are there ways in which you could have this tattoo from your past, but you do not subscribe to the criminal organization anymore, and the statutory window for prosecution has expired? So you can have been a criminal 20 years ago, and you weren't judged for any crimes, and that is the fault of the system for not having caught you. But you cannot carry this criminality into forever for your future because you have a tattoo. Those are just elementary principles of law that I'm putting forward here. People should light up there because it's very attention-grabbing and energy-consuming, but ultimately the problem of immigration isn't being fixed here. The problem of immigration is the change of demographics, and we're arguing about a single case here. And we're not seeing mass deportation of illegals. We're seeing just worked up, side of the table, botched arguments for special pleading for deporting a subset of them. That's not super interesting to me. Prout says, JF is right. They should have just stated that they were deporting him because he was here illegally. Who cares about MS-13? Well, I mean, I care about to an extent, but it's like, proving that you are part of a criminal organization is an extensive process that must be done in a court of law under a standard of criminal guilt, a standard of guilty, innocent until proven guilty, simply. And I don't see this happening here. I see a bunch of non-guaranteed process where rights are denied and they are being imported into immigration. And this I've been talking about for many years, by the way. The fact that immigration rights aren't a thing. So effectively, when you try crossing the border, even if you're just trying to go to Disneyland in the US, effectively you are without right at that moment. Effectively, they can beat you down and you're not going to have much resources, recourses. And effectively, they could argue that you are on the territory of the U.S. illegally and they could jail you for many days as they've done with this Canadian actress. An incredibly damaging policy proposed here. President Trump is considering issuing a $5,000 baby bonus for mothers to increase birth rates, according to the New York Times.
Well, there's a lot of things, I suppose, that I worry about, but and some of these things will seem esoteric to people. The birth rate is very low in almost every country.
The White House is reportedly coming,
I suppose,
up with strategies to tackle declining birth rate and marriage rates. In addition to the 5,000 baby bonus, the administration is considering reserving 30% of Fulbright program scholarships for married applicants or those who have children, according to the report. This is... So, married applicants. So that means they're going to give the scholarship to young people who are married, not if their parents are married. That's an important distinction, because you could have a bunch of young people who decide to marry quick to get this advantage. Will it actually favor baby making? I don't know, because if you pair two people who are students and who see their professional lives in the future, very often what you're going to have instead is a delaying of the baby making. Perhaps the best way to encourage baby making with respect to people who are students and who have their professional career ahead of them, and they feel that they're not there yet, is to directly fund the baby making in a stable family and to pair people who are not both future professionals. Maybe to pair people where there's one person having Fulbright scholarship and the other is pursuing other things or is just pregnant. Now, the 5,000 baby bonus, that is very bad, extremely bad idea. You will favor the worst possible genetics, the race to having the baby and then not properly caring about it and not creating a family situation that is stable for this baby. They say they want to increase marriage and birth rate. You're going to decrease marriage rates with this, because you're giving money to the agent in the marriage that will break it, which is the female. First, you are giving money to her in a way that makes her independent from the, that makes her not dependent on the male. So what you have to do is you have to put money into the population in a way that it will end up in the hands of males. Males who can decide, I'm going to care for a woman. I have so much extra money. I can afford having a woman produce babies for me. That is how you distribute your 5,000. If you throw it to the woman, you throw it to the... You're going to destroy any form of dependence on the male. She's going to run away with it. In fact, she's going to get inseminated and drop the guy immediately. D. Thomas says the police affidavit from Garcia's arrest in March 2019 shows that he was arrested with multiple other confirmed MS-13 gang members, was wearing clothing associated with the gang, and well, those are not argument. Those are not argument. What the fuck? How the fuck do I have to explain this in 2025? It is not a crime to be hanging out with criminals. It is not a crime to be wearing the clothes of criminals. How do we have to go back to these basics? It is not a crime to be friends with criminals. It is not even a crime to do business with criminals. The crime is the action that is criminal. You cannot just be guilty by association. New Guy Prime says guilt by association is a thing. It is today. Yeah, unfortunately. It is 2025. In 2025, we don't care about guilt by association. We do it. We just do it. The famous Justin Trudeau, it is 2017. That's why. 2017.
Many of these organizations that are represented in this room.
Oh my God. Tim Pool is now on the special internet seat of the fucking White House. The system has digested, the system has finished its integration of the independent creator. They have brainwashed them with YouTube rules that control their mind. That leads them to not be even willing to explore an idea because, oh, well, I can't explore this idea. I have to make a show. And if I make a show about this, I'm going to be punished. So they've controlled their mind with TOS at the private level, threatened their job, demonetized the others who weren't listening. And now that they've selected their agents of the system, they can welcome them into the White House. And it looks like you have, wow, a product of the free market. But before we arrived there, there had to be years of brainwashing, brain controlling, grooming, intellectual grooming, all of it done by YouTube. And now we have a YouTube star as a journalist in the White House. Andrew Tarba was laughing his ass off about the appearance of Jordan Peterson. He called us the bunch of psychopathic Pharisees for noticing and naming the psychopathic behavior of the actual Pharisees, laughing my ass off. The level of projection in this episode is off the chart. So amazingly, Jordan tried to go onto Joe Rogan using psychological tricks and curveballs, tried to go on there to do the dirty Douglas Murray job of trying to introduce into the brain of Joe Rogan, hey, do you have a process to detect these evil people who might be on your show? And amazingly, every sentence that Jordan says applies to him. It's beautiful. That's why Andrew Tarba is right on target saying it's a projection. Look at how every aspect of the description of the psychopaths that Joe Rogan should be avoiding, look at how they apply to Jordan Peterson better than they do to a guy like me.
You also set that conversation up, but it poked up and made itself manifest in that conversation. And the issue is, how do you identify the psychopathic pretenders?
So that is language from Sam Harris. Sam Harris in The Moral Landscape determined that he wanted to do a moral program for humanity, that he was right, and that there would be a bunch of people who would object, but we have to call these people psychopaths and not talk with them. That is literally the intro of The Moral Signal. It's the decision, look, I'm right, and whoever argues against me is wrong, and therefore they're psychopath because they're pursuing suffering, and I'm pursuing goodness. And so they must be pursuing suffering, and so they must be psychopath. And so we must call them psychopaths, and we must stop interacting with them. By doing so, Sam Harris was laying the groundwork for modern censorship, thought control, and podcast limitations of the overturned window. And here, Jordan Peterson is recuperating the saying, psychopaths. So these people who think that bombing babies is bad.
And it's even worse now. And then make a barrier, right? Now, right.
Make a barrier. So he wants to coordinate with Joe Rogan here. We're going to have to exclude these people from discourse because they're psychopathic pretender. Well, how would you recognize a psychopathic pretender? Well, a first sign might be that he's arguing for the killing of innocents. That's pretty psychopathic. That's as psychopathic as it gets. A psychopathic pretender would probably start crying at random moments to try to invoke a sort of depth to his own thoughts that he doesn't have, to pull out some sympathy from the public. A psychopathic pretender would do all of this while not admitting it publicly, would present his own thoughts as the grand truth that must oppose to the bad truths of the psychopaths that must be eliminated from the public discourse. We already have three features of a psychopathic pretender, Jordan, and you're that. You're exactly that.
Right was calling for the left to do that for decades,
right?
And they didn't, and they couldn't, and the left is not good at drawing barriers.
So here, for now, see how that slides. So these psychopathic pretenders are also present on the left. Well, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about clinical psychopaths? No. No, we're talking about pro-Gaza people. That is what's on the left and on the right. That is what is rising on every dimension of politics. So that's where you know he's not talking about actual psychopaths. He's not even talking about psychopaths in any sense that it means that. He's talking about Gaza sympathetic people who are against genociding the civilian population of Gaza. Now, that you have a lot on the left. And yes, they haven't reined them in. And that you have a lot of the right. And the people on the right have been reined in. They've been reined in by a takeover of the Republican Party by Zionist interest. So that is the hidden layer here. We're not talking about psychopaths at all.
Barriers, partly temperamentally. The right is somewhat better, but there's no shortage of monstrosity.
So the right is somewhat better, and by that he means they have put their anti-Zionist under control, but there are still atrocities in the right. And by atrocities, he means people who are complaining about bombing babies. Now, can you imagine the degree of reversal of cognition you need to be calling an atrocity a bunch of people who complain and who say, hey, look, that's a picture of a burning baby. Can we stop burning babies? That's an atrocity to him. Not the burning baby, but the guy saying it on Twitter. That's the atrocity. That's the monster. That's the little devil.
There. And so then the question is, how do you draw the line? And that's kind of what I was...
And so here he's trying to guide Joe Rogan. You're going to have to draw a line. You're going to have to ask yourself about how much do you control these non-Jews when they come, and where do you draw the line where you wouldn't engage with them?
Because I've been watching these right-wing, they're not right-wing, these psychopathic types.
So the psychopathic types, now that's me, basically. He's talking about me. He's talking about me and people like me. So people who have converged from a independent creator background who are right-wing. Now, he doesn't want to call us right-wing because he wants to take over the right-wing with his centrist friends. But that's me and you he's talking about. It's like the people who have converged toward an anti-Zionist opinion or critical of Zionism opinion and who have done so freely. But we're psychopaths. We are, according to Jordan, we're doing it for the money. Now, this is where, holy shit, this guy is accusing me and others of having our positions for money. Bro, how much money are you making, Jordan, for your positions? And how much money am I making? You don't think I knew this when I took my positions? You don't think I knew that it would limit myself to making less money than you? That I wouldn't be a multimillionaire just because of the series of positions I took? I knew all about it. Yet I took these positions. So to the contrary of the narrative that Jordan is trying to push here, we're not taking these positions for money. To the contrary, we're taking a hit on our bank account when we do the sacrificial decision to be critical of the big powers. Because, of course, the big powers have infinite money to favor the creators that stand with them. But we do this for a pursuit of the truth, Jordan. And this is where your limits that you're trying to impose onto Joe Rogan are becoming fucking annoying, because they constitute a cartel of thought. You are creating a cartel of thought control for the public space, and that breaks the free market, it breaks the free pursuit of the truth, and it basically makes of the internet exactly what happened to cable TV.
Manipulate the edge of the conservative movement for their own...
manipulate the edge of the conservative movement. Amazingly, this guy didn't even define himself as right-wing up to relatively recently. I don't even know if he does at this point. So we have here a deep centrist. A deep centrist who is accusing us of manipulating the edge. But you're manipulating the other edge, Jordan. Everything that he's accusing us of, he's doing himself. Am I manipulating the edge of the far right? Well, you're manipulating the centrist edge of the right. You want them to be more leftist. You want them to be more like you.
Own gain.
Right.
And a lot of that's cloaked in anti-Semitic guise. There's plenty of anti-Semitism on the left, too, by the way. So it's not unique to the right.
Well, particularly now.
Yes, particularly now.
Right.
Particularly now. We've noticed since the Jews are bombing an entire civilization with no rights and no recourse, we have noticed an increase. I am afraid to announce that we have detected an increase in anti-Semitism.
And so, you've let your curiosity guide you, your curiosity and your desire for knowledge, this quest, you've let that guide you as a podcaster. And I'm trying to work through exactly the same sort of thing.
So here he is trying to connect with Joe Rogan about, so where do you limit that curiosity? Well, Jordan, it's pretty simple. The truth is the limit of curiosity. Your curiosity is a bad tool if it throws you so far that you disconnect from the truth. Now, that's a very simple view of life. That's the life I live by. You don't live by this life, Jordan. You live by the life you've once explained it, and in fact, explicitly, you are looking for the rectangle of those truths that we should be able to talk about. The little rectangle in your view. To me, it's the entire universe. See, I don't have a rectangle that limits my connection to the truth. And as a podcaster, the limit of your curiosity should be the truth. It should be that you are pursuing the truth, and if your curiosity is too strong for that, for benefiting that pursuit, then it becomes an handicap.
How do you know, given your radical increase in stature over the last 10 years, how do you know?
So this is something we've been hearing from Murray, and where this is a point that they're trying to push, that the algorithms, the popularity, are misleading people. The algorithms have controlled your mind and got you into extremism. It's still the same pipeline argument that fucking Caleb, Cain, whatever, this young boy, was making the argument that he was drawn into the alt-right pipeline through YouTube algorithms. You have an attack on the legitimate popularity sorting algorithms of big tech right now. And it's an attack by Zionists because they're losing the game. They can feel it. They can feel now that Twitter is free. Hey, we're losing the game. That's not normal. Something is wrong. And they're knocking on the tin can of the X algorithm. You had Murray say, well, you get led by the algorithm into those extreme thoughts. And now you have Jordan Peterson saying to Joe Rogan, you're getting led into your decisions by popularity. Everything, they will invoke any reason to explain their current loss, but the one that matters, which is the pursuit of truth has led a bunch of people to be very critical of your political position. And you've never engaged with their point. You've dehumanized them. You're still trying to dehumanize them as psychopaths instead of engaging with them. To have a medal that you've engaged with them, it would be as easy for you, Jordan, as to give me a call. and I would happily show onto any podcast. We could have a Skype conversation. You wouldn't even have to publish it on your side, but you could say that you've addressed a counter to your argument, that you've addressed a genuine intellectual who rose through the systems that you criticize as being money-making, psychopathic algorithms, but that are truly not. They're truly just algorithms that are measuring interest. And it just turns out that there is an interest for a counter to your argument. That's the algorithm we won at. It would be as easy for you as to get a one-hour discussion with me in which I would be the most respectful to you. But I could lay out what is the set of things that you're getting called on. But you won't do that because you are part of a dehumanization project that dates back from Sam Harris, and it drove Sam Harris fucking crazy, okay? To the point where people are like, wow, Sam Harris is doing bad. Don't let it drive yourself crazy, Jordan, just like it did to Sam Harris, because you're holding this cognitive dissonance. You are dehumanizing your opposition, and you're not sharpening your debate skill, and eventually you see the world flee away from you. You see a Joe Rogan that's now interested in other types of guests, and you don't have it anymore. Sharpen yourself, Jordan. Sharpen yourself with the best intellect around. Don't close yourself into an ivory tower with a refusal to engage. If someone like me or other thinkers are so wrong, it should be very easy for the audience to see. It should be very easy for you to call out the lies, to counter the facts. You can do so with a pre-recording. You can do so with a presentation. You can say, oh, look, JF has said lies here and here and here. Very easy, but you won't do that. And that reveals to me that you are the psychopathic pretender that you're accusing us of being.
When your curiosity and even your skepticism about the fact that things aren't the way that people say they are, because that...
So here he's saying, you are right to be doubtful of the experts, but there's a bunch of red pill you should never take.
That's certainly been demonstrated in the last 10 years. How should anyone decide what guardrails to put up? Like, what do you look for?
The guardrail is the truth. And you have derailed from that guardrail the moment you've decided that you would not engage on all things true, that you would create a lie for the public to live in. The truth of race, the truth of human evolution, the truth of Jewish power. You know it's true. You're getting paid by it. You know it's true. It's written on your paycheck every week. You know the truth of Jewish power. And you've decided to not engage with this subsection of truth that are uncomfortable to your moral desires for society. And that day you lost the guardrails. Joe Rogan is still on it to an extent. I'm sure he has all sorts of social, taboos that keep him from really pursuing the truth. But you're off the truth rail. You've been off since a decade, since I did that 7-hour review of your pathetic appearance on Sam Harris, where you decided to redefine truth as being whatever the Peterson truth. Truth is whatever lasts long. No, that's not truth. That's durability. The feature of life forms. It's not truth, though. But see, that would be the only guardrail. But the moment these people have decided to create a little circle jerk club, and they've decided that there are certain truths, especially those truths that are advantageous to white people, we're not going to talk about those truths. And, oh yeah, we're going to allow a certain number of truths to be said when it's about Jews, but not when it's about white people. We're going to allow Jews to call for unity, we're not going to allow white people to call for unity around their race. That moment, you lost the guardrail, Jordan.
Or do you have a conceptual system worked out for that? Like,
and because what
you also...
Jordan probably doesn't have a conceptual system. But see, I've been trying to explain to these people who constantly developed ivory tower circle jerks, who constantly ignored me and ignored other people like me. You're not going to get away with it. You're trying to create... The minute you say there's 1% of the truth I don't want to talk about, what you're creating is a lie. That's the definition of a lie. There's an entirety of the knowledge of the universe. If you're saying there's a subsection of it that we don't talk about because I say so, you're a liar. You are engaging in a lie. And this whole discussion, this whole public pursuit of the truth becomes a public pursuit of mind control. because if you're not there to say, hey, we have measured it, it's dangerous around certain groups of people. There are certain groups of people around whom you are more likely to die. Then your lie is an act of genocide, because your lie misleads people to victimize themselves into situations that they could have otherwise known about. And this is where your lie is participating to the ongoing genocide against white people. Now, either I'm fucking insane and you can debunk this within 30 minutes, and you should do so if you can, or I'm right and you're a liar, Jordan. Sense of Progress says truth is just a consensus of opinion of two or more people. That is one facet of truth. Truth, first and foremost, is coherence. And coherence can be applied between IDs, in which case we're talking about theoretical truths, like in math. The existence of the fact that a triangle has 180 degrees total angle is a coherent truth. It's coherent within the domain of IDs. Then you can have coherence between observation and IDs, in which case you have empiricism. So let's say I have a theory. I have a theory that the air is made of partly of oxygen. And I go out, measure the air. I see the effect. I see that, okay, there's something in the air that's necessary for fire to burn. It's also necessary to life. And it also makes blood become redder. And it also attaches to iron elements, creating rust. Well, that's oxygen. Your theory is correct. You have a coherence between your theory and an observation. And then you can have intersubjective agreement, as you describe it. So two agents can have ideas and beliefs, and those ideas and beliefs can be coherent or not coherent. If they are coherent, then they agree. If they are incoherent, then they have a space of disagreement. John Drake says, what about World War II? Whites are too dangerous. They must lose power. This is their line of thinking. Absolutely. All of the behavior of Jordan, even if I don't know that he's been educated as a Jew, but I think he's been so much surrounded by Judaism that he ended up internalizing the ultimate fear of the white fascist, which is hilarious because the white fascist has less dehumanization for Jordan Peterson than Jordan Peterson has for someone like me. Jordan Peterson dehumanizes me more than any white fascist of 2025 could dehumanize him. Because he thinks I'm not even worthy of being in the rectangle of public conversation. And yet, all I'm defending is truths. Not even claiming that any of my ideas should make it to the public sphere. I'm only talking about the truth. Michael Shermer says, counterfactual thought experiment to put Israel-Hamas conflict into perspective. Oh boy, let's look at this biased argument that a Jew can come with when it comes to this question. If Hamas declared peace with Israel, laid down their arms, and ceased all violence against Jews, what would Israel do? Nothing. If Israel laid down their arms, what would Hamas do? Kill every Jew. QED. Unbelievable. These people are... These people are quite something. I mean, it makes me hate the physical universe to an extent. I'm like, holy shit. Would there be a way to just destroy the entirety of the universe within a fraction of a second? Like, just aspire everything through vacuum, please, including myself. I want to stop feeling. I want to stop. This argument comes from the side that has been doing the genocide. That has literally looked at a spot of the Middle East that they didn't live in and said, oh shit, there's people there. Oh well, we just have to set up in a small place and then we're going to push them out and push them out and push them out and kill them. And countless amounts of deaths have been generated since the establishment of Israel with the goal of basically eliminating and pushing away these people. And it worked to the extent up to the border of Gaza, the bend of Gaza. That is the place where the people that was being genocided sought cover. That's where they ended up. And it lasted so long that they had the time to make intergenerational growth in the bend of Gaza. They had the time, basically, as survivors of a genocide, to make babies. To make babies in an open sky enclave. And now you have the person on the side of the people who have committed the initial genocide saying, why don't they lay down their arms? We would do nothing if they laid down their arms. Well, they've been laying down their arms for the last 80 years. And the answer is you do something. You colonize their place of life. You colonize it with aggressive policies that are meant to push them out until they survive into an enclave, which is the enclave of Gaza. So no, it's not true that you wouldn't do nothing if they were not violent. You've killed the non-violence. You've killed the non-violent people of Palestine. And you push them into a corner where, yes, there is growing violence in that corner, but they are people born in a genocided survival population. Naberius says, stunning lack of humanity from a secular humanist. Yeah, when it comes to this subject, this is where it's very important, the Jewish question. Because, I mean, the ultimate problem is that these people are being placed into our thoughts. And they have been doing so for decades under other pretenses. But when it goes down to the question of Israel and Gaza, you can see why they were placed there. You can see that, you know, Michael Shermer and his little magazine about atheism, haha, let's debunk this part of the Bible that says this, haha. You can see that this was all bullshit. It was all bullshit. There was no demand for Sam Harris' philosophical work. There was no demand for Michael Shermer's magazines about atheism. There was no demand for Jordan Peterson's self-help crap that has never, to my knowledge, never really help someone, because every time I have a fan of Jordan Peterson, they're always still broken. They're always still broken. None of them have fixed their lives. They have the impression that they've done progress. They will tell you that Jordan Peterson was so important to me. But they're never in a good place. They never made it through. Have you noticed this about those people who feel that they were helped by Jordan Peterson? So all of these people, under false pretenses, were just occupying, volume. Fucking volume. They were fillers. How does it feel? How does it feel to be a fucking filler, Douglas Murray? How does it feel to be a filler, Jordan Peterson? You guys were fillers. You were placed into the public space for one issue only, and it would be that people, probably you were funded by forces that were in favor of Zionism, and the deal was that somehow you would pursue either your atheism magazine, your this, your that, but at the end of it, it would all be about Israel. And it would all be about systematically siding with Israel, whatever it does. Frog Eyes says, I read JBP book and my dick has never been cleaner, but the rest of my life is a wreck, though. Look, he's telling me to clean my room, but there's Palestinian blood all over the walls. What the fuck am I supposed to do? I keep cleaning, but they keep bombing again. New Guy Prime says, lol, no, I am daring Shermer to debunk it. We know you won't. Absolutely. And we have the continuation of this whole internal debate between Zionists about, now it becomes a big pecking challenge between Dave Smith and Konstantin Kissin. Konstantin, we've always been civil. As far as I remember, even while disagreeing, and I appreciate that, you seem to be flirting with going in a different direction here, and that's fine too, up to you. Frankly, I don't give a shit whether you think I'm intelligent or not, especially while you're making the weakest non-arguments imaginable. I also don't care about your psychoanalysis of my motives. This is all the stuff of propagandists and hacks who don't have arguments. The contradiction is obvious and we're all having a laugh. You came off the fence, but you've never been? You're making assertions about me, but I'm curious if you can back any of them up. When have I ever presented myself as an expert and then used the excuse of not being one? Can you point to one example? Is Audio Gates set up too aggressive / tight? Is it my setup that you're talking about? Oh yeah, I don't. But I'll try to speak aligned with the mic. Hopefully you can hear me well. Yeah, so it's like pick, 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 pick. Personal conflict, but the Jews, you have to give respect. I mean, here's a case of, do we let people criticize the Jewish state? And it ends up being Dave Smith, the Jew, arguing for Gaza, for pro-Gaza people, arguing toward Konstantin Kissin, another Jew, and they're just turning it into a personal thing between two Jews. Interesting. I have repeatedly said that Dave is intelligent, but he is really putting that theory to the test. Yes, I specifically explained that my lack of expertise and knowledge is why I didn't comment on the Israel-Palestine war for a year or since, and why my opinion is not based on expertise. Unlike Dave, who acts like he's an expert while using the defense of I'm not an expert when he is challenged. This is quite an obvious distinction. Can we stop Can we stop having an argument about who's expert and who's not expert and just address the points that people are capable of laying out? If Dave goes on a podcast and says something, that some things contains information, facts. Some of them may be false facts. They may be delusions that he has, but the content of it can be observed and criticized for itself, not for who holds it. New Guy Prime says, no, only experts can talk freely. Well, there we go. It's such a loss of time. It's like, I've been telling these people for a decade now, you're going to have to address arguments, you know? You're going to have to engage with the opposing argument, or else you just let the opposition to your thoughts build up, and more people ridicule you, and more people hate you, and more people are going to shit on your tomb when you die. You know, to all these people, I say, the day you die, if you haven't engaged with your opposition, honestly, I'm just going to say you were a piece of shit and it's good that you died. That's going to be the record on X forever. It's going to be, oh yeah, today Jordan Peterson is dead. He sucked. Do you want this to be the record that goes into history? Or do you want to be known as someone who was cognitively open? Who said, you know, I'm going to listen to people who disagree with me just in case they have something right. I'm not going to go on a debate about whether they're experts or not. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. End of the line, Joel says, is Linda Yaccarino still going to let X continue to lose money? I don't know what's the situation with X. I'm sure that there will always be a bunch of people who want us silent, and they will always have money. And it will always be very tempting for Elon to take that money. But I don't know if it will happen. If Elon has values and principles, and his principle when he did it was, hey, even if it cost me something, I'm going to pay it. So his principle was, gonna have to be free speech. Democrat County attorney lets anti-Tesla terrorist off the hook. We are really in a civil war. This is what you have to understand. We are in a civil war, and what's a crime for one side of the civil war is not a crime for the other side. So you have these Democrat places that they only want to take the case of a crime just so that they can not prosecute it. So that they can give cover, really, to their violent gangsters in society. And here you have a case where, this person destroyed a Tesla, but we're not suing. We're letting it be. Andrew Cuomo referred to the DOJ for criminal prosecution. Last October, the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic has sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department recommending that Andrew Cuomo be charged for making false statements to Congress. Okay, I'll follow this. I don't remember. What were the statements? Don't remember. What would Andrew Cuomo have lied about? Of course, he was one of the overly pro-COVID stuff, you know, vaccines. And was it him that at some point was... No, that was de Blasio. De Blasio was eating a burger like a fucking retard on camera. That was de Blasio. ATM that melts gold down sends funds to accounts spotted in China. Apparently, this machine will just melt the gold, determine its purity, and then send funds to someone's bank account within 30 minutes. Okay. And Putin offers to halt fighting along current front lines in Ukraine. The huge development, Vladimir Putin has offered to halt his invasion of Ukraine across the current front line as part of ongoing efforts to work with Trump toward reaching a permanent peace deal. This is according to several sources which spoke to Financial Times, which wrote further in a Tuesday report, the proposal is the first formal indication Putin has given since the war's early months 3 years ago that Russia could step back from its maximalist demands to end the invasion. But yeah, basically no demand. There used to be that Putin was saying, well, we would like commitment that Ukraine will not be in NATO. We would like some of the gains that the Ukrainians have done, we would like them to be reversed. So those were really small gains on the map. And now he's saying, well, we can take the current front line and carve it there. New Guy Prime says, Putin is caving. Interesting. I think that may be a reflection that Putin has his own strategic thinking and that now everything must center around Iran to protect his multi-ethnic empire. In a way, he must ensure that the Iranian regime doesn't get overthrown by Israel, and probably he doesn't like the idea of having so many effectives dedicated to the Northern Front with Ukraine, which has become more irrelevant. End of the line, Joel says he is probably expecting the EU to reject, so he can use this later. Yeah. Strategically, it should also be noted that the offer that he's making there, that the Zelensky side is so unhinged that they might say no to this. It's like, you say no to the current front lines? That means you are demanding that Russia returns what it has already gained from you? Unbelievable. But that is the state of the public space, ladies and gentlemen. Greed. Greed is everywhere. I can't believe there's so much greed in the world. How much greed is killing people, killing civilization, leading to war instead of peace? Why aren't people content with life, a pure life? I love my life. Pursuit of honest truth, the objection to immoral and double standard and double moral outcomes, and that's all. Family, love, sleep, and eating. That is what a great life looks like, and maybe a little bit of coding. I'll go sleep now because I have a headache and it's been tough to make this show. But I've done it 1 hour. Much love. See you all tomorrow.